blast off into the podosphere with TGP Nominal.
Extra.
Joining us on the line from the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, we have Noah Petro. Hi, Noah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, fine, fine. The main reason we got you on board this evening was that there is a supermoon coming up very soon, isn't there?
That's right. On November 14th, we'll have our yearly supermoon, which actually is a very cool supermoon because it'll be not only the closest full moon of the year, but it'll also be the closest full moon that we've had to the Earth since 1948. So a long, long time it will be making its closest approach since then.
So what exactly is a supermoon?
That's the $10 question, or the 10-pound question, I guess, as I might. Supermoon has become a thing of the last several years, and there's no one set definition that everyone appears to agree on. Supermoon is defined, broadly speaking, as when the full moon occurs within 90% of its closest approach to the Earth. Okay, well, that's a very kind of broad definition. That's why we can get three supermoons in a year and a supermoon in consecutive months. We sort of ascribe to a slightly different interpretation where there's only one supermoon, and it's the closest full moon in a 14-month cycle. And why is that 14-month cycle important? A close approach of the moon to the Earth, what we would call perigee in its orbit. So first of all, you know, the moon doesn't have a perfectly circular orbit around the Earth. It gets closer at times and further at other portions of its orbit. And so there's a 14-month cycle in close approaches. And so once every 14 months, it gets close to the Earth. And so we kind of use this definition, and there's, again, many different interpretations of the supermoon, but the closest full moon in that 14-month period. So November 14th here in the U.S. will be the supermoon. The next supermoon will be in January 2nd, 2018. But the next time the moon will be this close to the Earth will be in November of 2034. So we get, you know, once every several decades or multiple decades, we get these closer approaches. And this one happens to be one of the closer approaches over the last several hundred years.
So the one that's coming up will really only be visible from the U.S.?
Or? The wonderful thing about the moon in general, the moon gives to everyone. So this is a supermoon for the entire world. Mm-hmm. So for listeners anywhere in the world, definitely around November 13th or 14th. And really, this is not a solar eclipse, which we have coming up in August of next year here in the U.S. You know, there's not, oh, you've got to see it at this moment or you've missed it. On the night of the 13th, on the night of the 14th, that's the time for people to go out and see it anywhere in the world. So whether you're in the U.K., U.S., anywhere, go out and check it out on that night. Now, there is obviously a moment when the moon is full, and there is a moment when the moon is closest to the Earth. But, you know, the difference between looking at it at midnight in the U.K., going from the 13th to the 14th versus looking at it the next night here in the U.S., that's a real subtlety, and no one would really be able to see appreciably at least any difference in the size. The phase would be slightly different, but again, the point is that the moon will be very close, and so anytime you have on the night of the 13th, the night of the 14th, go out and look at the moon. The moon is always beautiful, and if you've never looked at the full moon, take this as an opportunity to go and do it. The moon won't be this close to us for about, for at least 15 years or so. So get out, take a look up in the sky, and enjoy it.
Practically speaking, though, is it really going to be any different than any other full moon?
It will be larger than your average full moon. It will be about 14% larger than a typical full moon. So
14% is not insignificant.
I would like to think that if someone came and said that they would give me a 14% raise, I would think that's significant. 14% more pizza is more pizza.
Yes.
And actually, the other, you know, there's a corollary. It will not only be bigger, but also because it's closer and larger, it will also appear brighter. Now, again, if you had something that was 14% larger and you put it side by side to something, it'd be hard to necessarily process that and say, okay, it's for, you know, with your naked eye, say it. But if you're photographing the full moons, say, and you put them side by side, you will see that the moon is indeed larger. You will see that difference. So it is appreciable. And, you know, again, this is not a fireworks display. There's not going to be some, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing. I mean, it is beautiful. It's amazing. But I always encourage people to use this as an excuse to start paying attention to the moon, to really pull out that Oh, yeah, it does look larger. Now, the caution is that there's always this optical illusion when the full moon is close to the horizon. It looks huge. And that's an optical illusion. So when you look on social media and see your uncle or aunt posting, oh, the full moon on November 14th is going to look like a basketball held right in front of your face, that's not true. It will not be that large in the sky. And ultimately, to get the best orientation and appreciation of the full moon is to wait when it gets higher in the sky later in night, away from the horizon, and there your mind will be playing tricks on you and making the moon look larger than it actually is.
With the supermoon, because you've got the different types, haven't you? Because the one that we had, was it last year, the blood moon? What makes that happen?
Well, so last year we had a sort of a unique supermoon, at least here in North America, and I think portions of the northern hemisphere saw an eclipse, a lunar eclipse during a supermoon. That was a pretty cool show. That was definitely something that we wanted people to get out to see. And so eclipses, you know, are known as these blood moons because the moon turns this beautiful red shade as it passes into the Earth's shadow. But, you know, each full moon has a different name associated with it, a hunter's moon, a beaver moon, and all of these are names. And every moon has a different name based on the different culture. But, you know, it all harkens back to the era when people actually paid attention to the phase of the moon and to the full moon because they based their lives on it, whether they would hunt or farm or whatever. So there was a real attention paid to the moon. And so that's why full moons all have different names ascribed to them. But the blood moon last year was because of this really unique eclipse that occurred.
Yeah, I was able to actually see that, and I got some photos of it. And I remember, I will never forget it, because throughout the day we were working out in the yard, and it was cloudy and all of that, and I was just swearing to high heaven. Like, you know, the one day you can't give me a clear night. I was just livid at Mother Nature. And I remember I went out to look at it anyway, and my older daughter, she was just like, oh man, I want to see this. And even though it was a school night, because she'd never seen an eclipse before. Mm-hmm. And just before the blood moon hit, if we looked to the southwest, there was a patch of no clouds heading right toward it.
Oh yeah.
And it timed itself perfectly. So I don't know if I cursed Mother Nature enough that she's like, okay, let's shut him up and just give him a clear supermoon. But I remember seeing that blood moon. I got a lot of pictures of it, and that was just amazing to look at. And to hear my daughter talking about how, oh my God, this is so cool. The science dad in me was very pleased about that.
I'm always advocating that any opportunity for people to go out and look up, look at the moon, look at the sky, you have to take it. And, you know, eclipses are a wonderful way to see something change. Oh my goodness, the moon's color is changing. What's happening here? And hopefully people appreciate these opportunities to take it and get out and just get outside. Turn off the computer, turn off the tablet, your phone, and just look up and enjoy being outside and not distracted by the rest of the world.
It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure to speak to you today.
And my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
And we'll speak to you again soon.
Can't wait.
Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes the event.